Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Regiment of Rome who had fun with Jesus, who was mistreated as a prisoner of war. An enemy of the occupying army stationed in Jerusalem to ensure the mopping up action of Operation Israeli Freedom.
One of our news channels keeps playing a news clip from 20 years ago when Lewis said 20 years ago that Zionism, not Judaism, was a gutter religion. And everybody wants to paint me as if I'm anti-Semitic because of what Louis Farrakhan said 20 years ago.
The government lied about inventing the HIV virus as a means of genocide against people of color. Government is a lie.
I can no more disown him than I can disown the black community. I can no more disown him than I can disown my white grandmother.
Here we are. Barack Humpty Obama. You know, all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. And believe me, all the king's flack men and all the king's mouthpieces will never put Obama back together again. It's over. He's on the defensive. It was a brilliant strategy by Hillary. We're in a vicious political cycle. And she did this. There's no question in my mind who dug this one up and how. But, you know, in a way, I've been against this lengthy campaign saying it's boring and it's an embarrassment. But when you have candidates of this low caliber, I think a long campaign is to the betterment of the American people. If we had distinguished statesmen for candidates, I would say a short campaign would be better because we kind of know them through their writings and through their speeches. But since none of these people have written anything of note, there's not one word any of them have written that you'll ever remember. And none of them have given a speech with one word in it that will ever be remembered. Therefore, the longer we know them, the more we find out that we should fear them. So Barack Humpty Obama, and the question really is not so much is right on the money Obama. I was the first to elucidate that in great detail yesterday. Of course, it was copied today by the GOPAC tick, as you would expect. They have no original ideas. They're all inside the Beltway. They eat K Street for breakfast. They eat Super K for breakfast. And the question today is not is, but why is right on the mining Obama? That becomes the question that appeals to me. It's interesting to me. It's not is right, but why is Reverend Jeremiah Spite, which is we affectionately call him Reverend Spite on the show, why is Reverend Spite on the mining Obama? Now, yesterday I gave you my psychological analysis. There were several different possibilities. One, you got the father-son thing, where Reverend Wright is the father, Obama's the son. He doesn't like the son superseding the father, so he tried to show him who the boss was. That's an easy one. I'm not sure that's really operational. There's another one where he's actually going out to undermine him for other reasons, and that becomes the interesting question. For me, who's putting him up to this? Do you actually think Wright is this bunch of a crackpot and just doesn't know the effect he's having? Looked to me like he knew what he was doing, and the question is who's having him do it? And once you answer that question and then you follow the money, I think you may find out an interesting answer to that question. I don't think this guy's stupid, and I don't think he is doing this without knowing the effects he is having. He certainly knew it by yesterday. And the question is, who reached right, and why do they want him to do this? It's to undermine Obama. So who could it be? Okay, we got three halves of a walnut shell on the table. And under one of those is a P. And the P is unknown. We will never know who did this. We can only assume that Wright is a crazy man and doing this on his own, which I don't assume at all. I think he's a very bright man, and I think he's very articulate. Of course, he's, you know, he says things to enrage and this and that. He makes stuff up about AIDS. But something's behind Wright. Somebody's behind him, and I can't prove it. I'm just suspecting it. So if you care to, you know, give us a shot here at 1-800-449-8255, maybe you'll get on the show to talk about Humpty Dumpty. Now, Obama's speech today was not – it was too little too late. He should have disavowed himself, not from Wright, but from the church. What Obama should have done today was said, you know what? I was wrong. I didn't know this was going on. I'm leaving that church because I don't want to be associated with these ideas. That would have worked for him. He could have put the whole thing, not the whole thing, but a good part of it behind him. But he won't leave the church because he is the church. The church is he. He is the church. So on 3-18-08, Obama said that the crackpot uncle is like family to him, you know. Play clip 7. This is 3-8.
As he may be, he has been like family to me. He strengthens my faith, officiated my wedding, and baptized my children.
Mm.
Not once in my conversations with him have I heard him talk about any ethnic group in derogatory terms. Or treat whites with whom he interacted.
Sure, he didn't ever talk about an ethnic group in derogatory terms, just about America in general. That's all. He included all ethnic groups. So that was on the 18th of March. Beware the Ides of March, Obama. You supported your crazy uncle. Now Obama suddenly comes out today in a nationally televised press conference, and he says basically that he's shocked by the spectacle. He saddened him. They're hateful and destructive statements. He's offended, blah, 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 blah. And he said everything that was correct, but he's running against the wind here. He's running against the wind. And the oddest person to have chimed in on this reverend spite thing is none other than the disgraced, psychotic, anti-Semitic Jimmy Carter. Here's Jimmy Carter just back from talking with terrorists. Here's Jimmy Carter just back from dancing with Hamas. Here's Jimmy Carter just back from undermining the United States government and Israel. And here's the disgraced crackpot anti-Semite Jimmy Carter giving his opinion on Reverend Wright where he supports him. You hear this? Can you believe this? It's unbelievable to me. And, of course, there's nobody better for making the crackpot anti-Semite look good than the self-hating Larry King. Larry King specializes in having people on who make his own people look bad. But what do you expect from a vaudevillian with wooden teeth who got lucky? So let's play some Humpty Dumpty. I'll take your calls at 1-800-449-8255. That's all. Presentainment. I turned it off. They heard already the thing. The only people who can't translate it. You know, the best speech piece that Obama gave, I mean, that I mixed up already between Obama and Wright. On purpose. No, the best thing that he did was when he attacked. You don't know about this one yet. I don't think anyone has this one. I haven't heard this one yet. Here is Reverend Jeremiah Spite attacking an icon of the Democrat Party himself, John F. Kennedy. He did this yesterday, attacking, if you could believe it, JFK in clip 5. Go ahead.
Only black children 50 years ago were singled out as speaking bad English. In the 1961, that's been all over the internet now. John Kennedy could stand at the inauguration in January and say, it's not what your country can do for you, it's rather what you can do for your country. How do you spell "es"? Yeah. Nobody ever said to John Kennedy, that's not English, "es". What's "es"? Only to a black child was it said, you speak bad English.
Now, I don't know if you know it, but JFK was an extremely literate man. JFK wrote a stunning book while he was in Harvard, an analysis of World War II, which supported the fact that Winston Churchill, conservative, was the man who single-handedly saved England by working against the liberals of his time and encouraging England to build ships and airplanes. It was an incredible book that JFK wrote. And to call him an illiterate or try to compare him to an Ebonic-speaking moron is something that I would expect a racist to say. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We bombed Nagasaki and we nuked far more than the thousands in New York and the Pentagon, and we never batted an eye. We have supported state terrorism against the Palestinians and black South Africans, and now we are indignant because the stuff we have done overseas is now brought right back into our own front yards. America's chickens are coming home to roost.
Now, I don't know if this lunatic is implying that the Japanese attacked the World Trade Center on 9/11, 2001. I'm trying to, you know, if I were a psychiatrist, what you have to do is try to figure out a mad person and what they're thinking. But when a man links Hiroshima with the attack on the World Trade Center and then links that up with the Palestinians and then links it up with the black South Africans, I don't know whether he's implying it was the Japanese who attacked the World Trade Center, South Africans, Palestinians. I do know of the 19 hijackers, I think 16 were from Saudi Arabia. Does anyone know if Reverend Wright knows that? But I don't think he means that. He means that psychologically or philosophically or spiritually we're getting what we deserved. In either case, that's called a traitor. When a guy gets up and says America's getting what it deserved after it's attacked by Islamists, which side is he on? He's on their side. That's all. Now, he's entitled to be an enemy of America. That's the interesting part. We live in a free country. You don't live in China where they take your kidneys out for disagreeing with the government. Not immediately. They have to wait and see if they can type you and find someone who wants your kidneys in New York, who's a good liberal, but they'll take your kidneys anyway. Thank you. You would think that the people in China, the political prisoners, are walking around with a sign that say to rich New York liberals, take my kidneys, please. But they actually would rather not have their kidneys removed for criticizing the government. But having said that, I mean, we're free to criticize the government. That's what freedom of speech is. But the issue is not his freedom of speech, nor whether he's crazy or sane, or whether you agree with him or not. The issue is quite different. The issue is, how can you actually believe Obama sat in that church for 20 years and didn't hear any of this? I mean, these are not taken out of context. They're pretty clear. These are pretty clear statements. And moreover, my friends, if you study the church that this came out of, the Church Affinity Group, United Church of Christ, they're extremely anti-American, anti-military, anti-family, anti-police, anti-Semitic. And so that they've been known for that. This church is known to be a far-left church that basically reflects the values of Berkeley, California. So he's not alone in that. The lunatics of Berkeley would probably agree with Reverend Wright. In fact, I think he can open up a franchise on Shattuck Avenue. And I think it would be filled with atheists who would suddenly come back to Christianity. Because if you can combine Christianity with America-hating, man, then you have the perfect church, and that's what Wright has there. It's sort of like what country would Jesus hate? He would hate America. Or honk if Jesus hates America. I mean, that's the kind of bumper sticker they would put out. Honk if you think Jesus hates America. I'm not being facetious. I'm telling you what these people are all about. This man could convert atheists to Christianity overnight if he opened up a franchise in Austin, Texas, Berkeley, California, and the Upper East Side of New York. He could get people coming from previously Jewish Christians. He'd probably get a lot of people coming into a church that hated America because he reflects their values. Don't think Reverend Wright is alone here, by the way. No, you know, what you're hearing here is the naked id of the American-hating public. And I don't know what percentage that might be. I would say it's between 9 and 11%. Now you say, how do you get that data? I'm guessing it's no more than 1 out of 10 have this vile view of their own country. But 1 out of 10 is a lot of people when you think about it. But this is what they believe. They walk around and believe it. It's not a racial thing. This is not a racial thing at all. It's not Reverend Rice not alone. He is the naked id for the American left. But that comes back to the presidential election, doesn't it? That's where we're at right now. Anywho, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. You know, the website, the number, the this, the that. I'm going to take your calls here. Let's go to KPRC in Houston, Texas. Daniel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to speak to you today.
Thank you.
Nobody believes this disingenuous illiterate Dr. Or Barack Obama. You know, this guy, as soon as I read your article today on your website, I thought, it's a little bit too late, buddy. A little bit too late.
Oh, you mean where Obama tries to disconnect himself from right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, that's why I've been playing the Humpty Dumpty nursery rhyme. Because I think that Obama is the equivalent of Humpty Dumpty today. It's over. He's fallen off the wall. He was really pushed off the wall. And although his handlers have put him back up on the wall, all of the fissures are showing through his shell. Thanks for the call. That's all. And, of course, Sharpton threatened to close down New York. I think that Sharpton is jealous of Obama and of Wright. They both were very angry that this guy got so far without hating. Look how far they got by hating and threatening and blackmailing. You can't have a young black man come along like this and get so far by being nice. That's bad for business. You got to threaten people, frighten them into boycotts, make them cater to you. That's how it's been done. And no one's going to come along and shake up their business. This is very bad for business. Obama is bad for the racket, for the race racket. Very bad for the race racket. If you ask me, I don't think Obama is a racist at all. I don't think he has a racist bone in his body at all. I don't see it. I don't hear it. I don't hear it at all. He's a left winger, and I don't agree with his far left radical view of the country, okay? But racism, it's not in this guy. He's had a real tough life, if you want to know the truth, to walk that line. I don't know how the guy did it, okay?
Savage.
Government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating our citizens as less than human.
I guess the man hasn't studied Africa's history. He won't even look at Darfur, where there's a genocidal war going on and there are no whites involved. I guess he hasn't looked into other regions of Africa where people cut off each other's arms with machetes, hack each other to death. He forgot about Rwanda. There were no whites involved with that genocide, but that's what it is when you're consumed with hatred. Well, let's put it to you another way. The 19th century poet Blake wrote it best when he said, the mind that alters all, or the eye that alters all. Wright's mind has been altered with hatred. And he sees everything through this altered lens of hate. Consequently, he's blind. This is a blind preacher leading a flock, you know, the blind leading the blind. He lives in the freest, greatest country on earth where every man has an equal opportunity. And he doesn't see that. Of course, he's had a pretty good equal opportunity. Understand, the good reverend who hates America and says it's a racist country is retiring to a $3 to $5 million home outside Chicago. Good for him. I guess if it wasn't a racist country, it would be a $15 million house. I guess that's the problem. And that must be the problem, is that he's building a $3 to $5 million house for himself because of racism. Had it not been a racist country, it might be a $20 million house. Ah, I get it. See, no matter which way I look at it, I have to correct my thinking. KNEW, San Francisco. Andrew, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I believe that this was calculated and orchestrated by Obama.
Go on, give us the entire story.
I'll explain. By denying ever heard the original inflammatory comments and claiming that they were taken out of context, Obama painted himself into a corner. Therefore, he needed Wright to make fresh, contextualized inflammatory comments to properly disavow and separate himself from Wright.
It could be a good cop, bad cop. It could be an attempt to show he's not like the church, not like Wright, that he is actually different. And I'm sure they'll spin it that way. In other words, he's having Wright do this to show he's not like him.
Exactly. By denying that he ever heard it while he was in the pews and denying they were taken out of context, he couldn't really properly disavow the comments.
No, you're pretty insightful. Is that something that you thought of yourself, or is that something you kind of read or heard? I'm curious.
You know, I came up with it right off the cuff. I'm in sales, so we're forced to think on our feet.
No, I agree with you. How many times have I said that the average American is not so average? And we know that from combat, that you never know who the hero is going to be or the coward. You know, it was the butcher. No, so it's the same thing with thinking. Sometimes brilliant thoughts come from people you'd never expect it from. Andrew, my hat's off to you. That's pretty good. You know, anything's possible. How do I know? It's a complicated world, and there's a lot at stake. This is the taking of America 1, 2, 3. So anybody could be behind it. Now, again, we have to go back to the strangest person to chime in on this. None other than the disgraced anti-Semite Jimmy Carter, who goes on to the self-hating Larry King show to explain his position on Reverend Wright. Let's listen to, I don't know, any one of them. Pick 16, 17, or 18. Anyone.
I've seen a complete sermon of one of those where they took the excerpt. And if you look at the whole sermon and then you see the excerpt, you see that it's quite anomalous compared to the rest of the sermon.
Oh, it's quite anomalous. So in other words, if you read Mein Kampf, the overall book is okay, except where he talks about incinerating the Jews. It makes sense of how he's going to save Germany and how he wants to have food programs and how he must take land back for Lebensraum for the German people. It's only when he gets into the nasty stuff like kick the Jews out of Germany or gas them that it's an anomaly. See, Jimmy Carter is pretty true to form. Now, I don't know whether it's his genes. I really don't know what it is about Jimmy Carter. I don't know whether it's genetic with him. He inherited, let's say, his grandfather's genes, or it's from all the strychnine that he ingested while his relatives were shaking snakes over their head. I don't know whether it's the strychnine or the genes. I don't think we'll ever get to the bottom of this. This is something that only a forensic historian can figure out. Was Jimmy Carter's soul destroyed by the acid? What do they drink there when they shake the snake? Strychnine. They do drink strychnine. It could be the strychnine, and it could be having its effect now. Or it could be genetic. That's all. We never know. It could be actually aflatoxins from the peanut skins, now that I think about it medically. I'm just drifting here. Because here's a guy comes back fresh from a disgrace like you can't imagine. Any other man would hide, never be heard from again. The guy goes over to undermine the U.S. government, comes back in total disgrace, and how he chimes in on Larry King on the Wright affair like someone really believes a word the guy says, like he has any validity. It's amazing to me. I don't know who they're going to ask next for their opinion. I can only imagine Al Gore might chime in and say that Reverend Wright is normally a decent man, but it's because of global warming that he became incendiary over the years, that the church got heated up, and because whites were racist, they didn't put in air conditioning. Consequently, the church got up a certain degree, and it caused in the brain some circuits to fry up. But other than that, it's contextually quite interesting, and he shouldn't have been condemned. If only there was no racism and global warming, Reverend Wright is pretty good 99% of the time. But it's that darn global warming again. That's something that I think Al Gore could come up with. Let's see, what other left-winger can they... Wait a minute, John Kerry. What would John Kerry say about this? That they're swift-boating Reverend Wright, and et cetera. And what would... Whoa now. The big fish hasn't been heard from on this. The kingfish of radical left-wingism hasn't been heard from. Hold on a minute here. Ted Kennedy. How come Ted Kennedy hasn't chimed in on Reverend Wright? The kingfish of left-wing babble. I can't imagine what he might say about it, kingfish. But he should know before he supports Reverend Wright that Reverend Wright mocked his brother, JFK. By the way, JFK was the best conservative president we've had over the last 40 years. I think he was more conservative than Ronald Reagan in many ways. If you actually analyze policy by policy, Nixon was more liberal than JFK. Nixon passed the Americans with Disabilities Act, so-called. It's crippled half the businesses in the country. You got shyster lawyers running around with tape measures looking to build wheelchair ramps where no one needs them. I don't have to tell you what it's doing to small business, like a plague running through the city. They go into little Chinese restaurants here in San Francisco, people who have a marginal living, and the shyster lawyer runs out of the car with a tape measure and says, you got to build a ramp. Here's my brother-in-law's car. He builds ramps and will sue you. Al Capone would have loved the ADA, I got to tell you that. Al Capone. Mr. Capone. Where is Capone? Where is Al Capone now? Capone. We've gone from Al Capone to Al Capone in one generation. Pretty good, Mike. I'm talking to myself now. I'm starting to talk in tongues listening to Reverend Wright. See, I do these things. It's like from Rosie the Riveter to Rosie O'Dumbill in one generation. I used to do a whole sequence like that of what happened to this country. From St. Christopher's medals to dream catchers in one generation. You get it? So what I just said is actually funny if you understand the context. What did I just say, Beowulf? I have Minnheimers right now. I forgot the joke already. I have Minnheimers. No one remembered it. I forgot what I said. What did I say? Does anyone remember what I just said? It was pretty good. Nothing. The staff's asleep. Is it crazy glue that you're using today, or is it Elmer's? You're using regular Elmer's back there, or just crazy? I don't blame you. This is a tough job sitting on the other side of the glass, 1,200 miles away, having to put up with a show like this, like a digital show. I don't know. I would do Elmer's probably after a couple of years of this. Okay, we're moving right along now. What other topic is there? There's a lot of topics, but this is so juicy, it's hard for me to let go of it. It's too much fun. Obama calls Wright's remarks ridiculous and offensive. All right, he's distancing himself. I love the pantomime that Wright was doing with the fingers, the gestures, the face. You know, this guy could go on to American Idol and they could rename the show. Wait a minute, where's Rupert Murdoch? There's a new show in this. This is like the dog. What's that dog show? The dog catcher? The dog trainer guy? Whisperer, the dog whisperer. I think Reverend Wright could have his own show. I don't know what the name of the show might be, but he could do this every week for an hour. He'd have super ratings. Do you realize if you got this guy up once a week and he did this once a week, what kind of ratings he'd have? What a show. This is absolutely perfect for Rupert Murdoch. He should definitely get this guy an agent and hire him and write a whole script around. He could do pantomimes. He could do facial gestures. What's this Army Wyden's probe after finding bad conditions at Fort Bragg? I love it. The left wing couldn't get any gumption out of the hospital thing. They got the soldiers, God bless them, that get injured in Iraq are Marines. They come back. They go to Walter Reed. They get the best medical care in the entire world. The world. So the left wing rats a year ago dig up the fact that some paint was peeling on the wall of Walter Reed, and nothing came of it. Then they had a nerve to bring in that human football. That human basketball, Donna Shalala, to give a tour with Bob Dole in between selling Viagra and selling America out to the people in Dubai. That fraud, Bob Dole, they give him a tour with Donna Shalala of the hospital. And he comes back and saying, it's not, we're going to fix it. They're going to do no new drywall. Now, they go and they dig up that Fort Bragg, the barracks. You hear this? The barracks for soldiers are not the Four Seasons. Wow! That shows real neglect. The barracks at Fort Bragg, in other words, that's as far as they've gone. They're no longer attacking the war, you notice, because they love the pork. They never had so much money flowing, and this is better than Las Vegas in its peak. You talk about the skim. The skim in Las Vegas was nothing compared to the skim out of the Iraq War. I mean, we would really need Francis Ford Coppola, if he was still doing decent movies, which he hasn't done in 20 years. If Francis Ford Coppola could still do a good movie, he would do one on the corruption of the Democrat Party with regard to the Iraq war bills. Really, I mean, he'd start from the top and work his way down. And he'd have to get a character like the Maya Lansky character with the birthday cake on the roof of the Tropical in Havana where they would do it, let's say, on the roof of the a hotel in San Francisco. And instead of a Maya Lansky character, they get somebody out of Baltimore, Maryland, let's say. I don't know who. Somebody out of Baltimore. Some ordinary guy. And he would be saying on the roof of the hotel here in San Francisco, I did my best work with your father. We started together, not running molasses out of Canada, but running contracts into Iraq. And the next line would be, right now, we're bigger than U.S. Steel. And they cut the birthday cake. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This country has had rebels for the last 50 years. It's in their blood. Believe me, I know. I've been coming here since the 20s. We were running molasses out of Havana when you were a baby. The trucks owned by your father.
Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton has requested nearly $2.3 billion in federal earmarks. That's pork barrel spending for 2009. That's three times the largest amount received by any senator this year. Staggering. Nobody can believe this. Congress is in a heated debate over spending federal dollars on earmarks, and Hillary asks for $2.3 billion in federal earmarks, and John McCain asks for none, to his credit, by the way, because he's totally opposed to pork barrel spending. Good for him. She asks for $2.3 billion. You want to hear where some of the money would go? You're not going to believe this stuff. I'm looking for the one that you won't believe where some of the money is going. Somewhere in the Hamptons, she wants to build something. I can't even find it. It's so unbelievable. You know what pork barrel spending means? It means projects that have nothing to do with anything except stuffing their supporters' pockets. Here, she wants $7 million to construct a facility at the Air National Guard base in the Hamptons. Okay, that really important spot for the Air National Guard, the Hamptons. I guess when they serve drinks to the rich leftists in the Hamptons. $6.6 million to construct a fire station in Fort Drum, New York. Well, that'll help everyone across America. That's just some of it. That most of the money is going to go for Homeland Security, don't you know? It's unbelievable. Hillary Rodham Clinton requested $2.3 billion in federal earmarks for 2009. And you people actually think the Democrats are the party of the people. Wow. It's funny here that McCain is actually, in a sense, more liberal in not requesting any earmarks. He's actually like a classic guy who doesn't believe in big government. The whole thing's nuts. Sacramento, Nisha, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Savage, I have to disagree with you as far as your opinion concerning Senator Obama. I have to say that I am a supporter of Obama, and I listen to your show, and I hear your remarks. And some of your remarks are very derogatory, which I have to disagree with. Now, on the subject of Jeremiah Wright.
Derogatory? But you mean what Jeremiah Wright says is not derogatory towards America? You approve of them?
Excuse me. Hold on. I didn't finish. I said, now, on the remarks that Jeremiah Wright, they were derogatory, very derogatory, and unpatriotic in some of the things that he said.
All right. So what's the purpose of the call?
I feel that you and the radio talk show host and the TV
right, don't lump me in. If you're going to start lumping me in, we're going to get nowhere. I'm different than everybody else. Don't put me in anyone else's category. Go ahead. Please make your point.
Different. What makes you feel that you're so different from it? Because you make derogatory remarks towards a lot of people other than the candidates. You make derogatory remarks about people that
Is that illegal to make derogatory remarks about morons?
Legal, but by you and the...
Nisha, you know, you're running at the mouth, and you're starting to get me angry now. You called to talk about your guy Obama and his politics. Will you stick to that, please?
I don't agree with your derogatory comments towards the senator.
Well, why not? What is it that I said about him that you don't agree with?
Because you continuously put him down, not knowing anything about
him. Well, what you called about on the board, it says you say he's not a left winger. Does this show your ignorance, or what does it show? He was rated the most left-wing senator in Congress. But you wouldn't know that, would you? Because you're a blind supporter. As I said to you, it's the blind leading the blind. You're one of the blind. You don't even know what the man stands for.
Do you know what he stands for?
Yeah, I know what he stands for. He stands for higher taxes. He stands for breaking the military down. He stands for homosexual marriage. That's to begin with. Now, if you approve of those things, then you're a left winger. Do you understand that?
I don't approve of those things totally. I don't disagree with him altogether.
All right, take a walk. Do me a favor. You know, Nisha, please, I actually broke out in a sweat. And here is why, Nisha. I don't mind arguing with people who know what they're talking about. You truly don't know what you're talking about. You're lost. You have no idea what the man's policies are, but you like him. And the reason you like him is because you like him. You have a right to like him. That's all. Ron, WNIS, Norfolk, Virginia, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I take Barack Obama passed any deal with Martin Luther King Jr.
Tell me why, please.
Because the Bible says he didn't have a dream, let him tell a dream. He didn't have my word, let him speak my word. And don't none of them have the word of God.
None. You mean Reverend Wright doesn't have the word of God either?
No other preachers out there in the world have the word of God. None of them preach what Peter preached. What Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. They preach repentance and remission of sin. Not what God preaches is supposed to be preaching. Not politics.
So you're saying they shouldn't be so political. That's what you're saying.
Political. Not even Martin Luther King Jr. He won't even of God. That's why Jesse Jackson ain't of God. All them other
people. You see, but listen what this man is saying. A lot of people don't hear what you're saying. I actually hear what you're saying. You're saying they're wearing the collar, but they're not talking. They're not walking the walk.
Walking the walk. God only built one church according to the Bible. Ain't none of these churches in the world got nothing to do with God. God ain't coming back up in that building. That's why I stopped paying taxes.
All right. Thank you. Now we'll stop right there. I don't want to join Wesley Snipes. Thank you very much. I don't have the sunglasses for that cell. So I think we've exhausted the right thing. Unless you'd like more, I can milk more. I could come up with more for the next hour, if you'd like. What is it you'd like to do? I mean, you know, in a way, we can do this forever. We've been doing it to the point of no return here. There's so many other wonderful stories out here that... But this isn't lit up America. I got to tell you, this stuff is lit up America. You know why? All you got to do is listen to clip two and you'll know why. Play it now.
It was soldiers of the 3rd Marine Regiment of Rome who had fun with Jesus, who was mistreated as a prisoner of war. An enemy of the occupying army stationed in Jerusalem to ensure the mopping up action of Operation Israeli Freedom.
You got the Italians, the Jews, the sandal maker, and the candlestick maker.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Soldiers of the 3rd Marine Regiment of Rome who had fun with Jesus, who was mistreated as a prisoner of war. An enemy of the occupying army stationed in Jerusalem to ensure the mopping up action of Operation Israeli Freedom.
As imperfect as he may be, he has been like family to me. He strengthened my faith, officiated my wedding, and baptized my children. Not once in my conversations with him have I heard him talk about any ethnic group in derogatory terms.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall.
Yep, it's unfortunate, but he's had a great fall. I don't think they can restore him to his former arrogant self. Welcome to... Thank you, guys. I just want to hear the whistle again. Whoa, welcome to the Savage Nation. So we're talking about the big news story of the day. There's nothing else to talk about other than the fact that Hillary Clinton, who postures herself as anti-Republican, has applied for 3 times more in pork barrel spending than anyone else in the U.S. Senate in a time when they say they're belt-tightening. Aren't you people embarrassed to call yourselves liberals? Aren't you embarrassed to look at yourself in the mirror? If I actually believed you were capable of shame or embarrassment, I wouldn't have asked the question. I asked it to show you you're not capable of shame or embarrassment. Only John McCain, to his credit, is not asking for any pork barrel spending. Good for him. This just came to me from my good friend Joe Farah. He said, Michael Savage, you've just been ranked. Your website, michaelsavage.com, is now ranked higher than the Hannity website, which is a big deal, actually, when you think about it. 3 month change, it went up 8,781%, my website. 3 month change, I have 2.5 million more viewers. Page views per user for michaelsavage.com, it went up 52%. And by the way, I'm mentioning it because we've changed the entire look of the website. And it's going through the ceiling. And I want to show you how they're biased against me. They say that michaelsavage.com has a traffic rank of 79,000, right? Now you look down on the bottom, and it says traffic rank in other countries. United States, I'm ranked 7,888. Canada, 78,000. And Japan, 158,000. So to diminish my website, they're averaging it between the U.S., Canada, and Japan are coming up with number 79,000. So I say, don't these people have any shame, the people in these media operations? The answer is no, or they wouldn't be in these media operations. They'd be making a good living selling crack. But since they don't have the guts to actually go out and sell crack, they sell something else that begins with a C and doesn't end with a K. Anyway, I'm thanking you for listening, and I'm thanking you for – I don't know what people say, business is down everywhere. It's never been better. My show is booming. The listenership is up. The readership is up on the website. So I'm going to continue being myself. I'm going to continue doing what I do. I have no choice anyway. I have no way to change. This is it. As they used to say when I was in the fifth grade, you know, as a joke, God broke the mold after he made blankety blank. Well, that's it. At a certain point, we are who we are. That used to scare me when I read that. I read when I was in college that Sigmund Freud wrote that we are who we are at age 5. I got nervous reading that. I didn't like myself at 5. I didn't like who I was at 5. I didn't know it. You get it? You get what I'm saying to you? Anyway, what's the point of talking? I want to go on to the stories other than the Obama thing. And the poor guy is finished. He's now a shadow of his former self. And as I said to you last week, you know, he's a very good speaker. He's very polished. He's very diplomatic. He would make a superb ambassador. President, no, he's not ready for the big ticket. He is not. He's just not ready for it. He's too green. He has no real background for this. He's ready to be an ambassador, and I'm not saying that facetiously. What's wrong with being an ambassador? When I was young, I thought that would be a fabulous profession to be an ambassador. No, there's no, you know, nasty barb on the end of it. He'd be a terrific ambassador. Which country is the question? Do you think he'd want to be the ambassador to Zimbabwe, for example, today? Absolutely not. That's not a plum appointment. Maybe an ambassador to the Vatican, he could do that. It'd be a great job. A couple of years, he comes back, then he runs again. Right now, it's over. It's over. It's finished. Because every time he speaks now, we see the guy behind him with the fingers and the gesticulation, and the AIDS was invented by the government. And it's unbelievable. You want me to play more clips just to give you entertainment or what? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Indiana, let's go to a totally different topic. Roger on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, I just wanted to see where you were at. After the girls went in down there at the polygamous compound in Texas for their examinations, there were 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old girls that were found out to have been previously pregnant. And I wanted to see what you thought about that, because I know that before you said there was no proof that there was any abuse.
Right. That's a very good question. And if I was trying to duck truth, I wouldn't have taken your call. But I've thought about that, and I have two answers for you. The first is I don't trust the government to give me the truth. I would just assume they're making it up, because they're a bunch of people killers. The Texas state government could have made the statistics up. But let's assume that a goodly number of these underage girls were pregnant, just for the moment. The issue is not whether I support polygamy, which I do not. The issue is constitutionality, which I strongly support. The raid of the polygamy compound without due process, based upon a false call, is a violation of their constitutional rights, irrespective of what was found. That's the canon of law upon which the entire U.S. government is built. And the day we let a bunch of thugs like the Texas Rangers with body armor and machine guns and armored personnel carriers break into a church in order to snatch children is the day you're no longer living in America. So think about it. It's about the constitutionality of that raid. That was the issue from the beginning, Rod.
Yes, sir. Mike, I respect that. Can I ask you one other thing about this Obama situation? He made a comment several weeks back stating that he could no more disown Reverend Wright than he could disown the black community. How does he answer to that now?
Well, we have that clip, as a matter of fact, and we played a few of the original 3A18. Here, play clip 8 for a minute, the beginning of it.
I can no more disown him than I can disown the black community.
Okay, that's the one you're talking about, right? Is that the soundbite you're mentioning, Rod? Dang, bingo, gone. That's all a perfect answer. It would have been a good piece of radio if he said, yes, how'd you get it? You're good, you're fast. But all right, he couldn't do it. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We can move on. .savage. Let us, by the way, go to michaelsavage.com. I want to see what other stories are up there. Why am I looking at this my way? Rescuers amazed that 6 twisters caused no deaths in Virginia. That was a weird story. Twisters in Virginia? That's like, you know, cows in Berkeley. Who would have expected a twister in Virginia? Betrayed, Obama denounces Wright's appalling statements. Yeah, he didn't know about it. Prisons in France filled with Muslims. About 60 to 70% of all inmates in the country's prison system are Muslim, even though Muslims make up only about 12% of the country's population. That's in France. Now, you could all start the same racket and say that it's racism, or you could say that they're committing more crimes proportionate to their numbers, which is true. Then you could start in with the garbage that they're not living as well as the others. Well, if you come to a country and you have 11 children and you don't work and you collect welfare, what do you expect to do, have a chateau in Provence? Is that what you expect to come there and have 12 children sit around and smoke keef all day long and have a chateau in Provence? Or to produce people like yourself who are petty thieves and drug dealers? No wonder they're in jail. And the oil giants, BBC censors broadcast. I can't even read the BBC anymore. What else is on my site? It's a new site. It's interesting what the design. It's big. It's like for the reading impaired. The letters are so big on my website, even I can read them without glasses. Violent threats, Savage's eye camera. I'm going to the fight. I am going to go this time. I'm going this weekend to the De La Hoya fight. That is correct. My son, God bless him, is sponsoring it. I don't know how he does this. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he does it. I don't know. It's like so big. It's beyond me. See, every man wants his son to exceed him. I'm blessed that way. I got to tell you, I know he doesn't listen to the show. He's too busy exceeding me. That's funny. And to me, it's funny. It's heartbreaking. Nobody in the family listens to my show. They're all busy. They don't have time to listen. And I've given up giving him the litmus test at the end of the day. I don't even ask anymore. I did. I used to give him a real litmus test. Well, did you hear what I said at 4:15? I don't even ask anymore. I know already it'll erupt into a family argument. I give nobody a litmus test. I don't even give it to people I'm friendly with. They have to actually call me. They have to call me and say, boy, that was brilliant for me to ever call them again. Or when I call them, the first thing they have to say at the drop of a hat is, my, you were great today. Or else they don't get invited on the boat. That is why I go out on the boat with a dog alone. Because who's going to say that unless they're a sycophant? So, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I really don't. I'd rather talk about nitroglycerin and how it's made than talk about Reverend Wright. He is what he is. Okay, who can help me with this? Leave one line open for this. I have been searching my mind for months now. There was a black, I wouldn't call him comedian, but he was like a comedian in the 50s. And I used to listen to like recordings of him. Lenny Bruce used to do them, imitations of him. And Lenny Bruce like cued like the hipsters to this guy. Who was it I'm thinking about? It was unbelievable. But he had the same delivery as Reverend Wright, but he would go on a long word train that it was like unbelievable to me. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? Because we're going to try to find that recording. If anyone's got that, you're going to get a free gift. And the phone number is 1-800-4. I don't mean Red Fox. I'm talking about before those guys, and they were all talented in their own way, there was a black guy who was known in the hipster community for his word his word songs, his word runs, and it would never end. It's like on and on, and this guy was so fast and so good. When Wright does his thing and gets on a roll, he sounds like him. So that comedian came out of the church probably and went into the general, you know, mainstream with his comedy. No one knows it. Again, I'm talking to myself. If I make too many esoteric references a day, I know no one knows, but they know I'm happy, so they're happy for me. They don't know what I'm talking about. People sometimes don't even know what I'm talking about. They know I'm lost in my own thoughts. I love this British newspaper comes out with the 100 top pundits in America. Again, the Brits. They really know everything about America. They list people I never heard of in the top 30. Okay? Who'd they list? The wife of the alligator man? She's number 39. No one's heard about her. She had a radio show for 3 minutes 8 years ago. Mary Madeline, they listed them, one of the top people. Most influential people in America. What are these people in Britain? Are they out of their minds? They don't even know who I am? Good for them. No wonder the newspaper's not read by anybody except Matt Drudge. I'll be right back. Savage. It is true. It is true. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. We're talking about the reverend who undermined Obama. And some of you are saying, no, he didn't really undermine him. He's part of the act to permit Obama to separate himself from the reverend. I don't know. That's a pretty risky strategy because it reminds people the reverend still exists. You know, people sort of were trying to the left was trying to make you forget that the reverend was an issue. They kept saying it's been forgotten. Remember the left wingers in the media? 2 weeks ago, like this straw-haired guy, softball, 2 weeks ago was saying, oh, it's been forgotten by everyone but the right wing. No, sir, you're clueless. You're out of touch with reality. You always have been, which is why the only thing you can do is try to look pretty in front of a camera and give puffball interviews to your friends. But the fact is, we didn't forget it. We didn't forget it at all. And now America has been reminded of this shadow behind the man, and the shadow has come out from behind the curtain, and here he is again, scaring everybody. He doesn't stop. You could say it's his ego. You could say the man wants his day in the sun. You know, it is a short dance in the sun life. I once met a poet, an unknown poet here in San Francisco, and he was a real one, unlike the frauds. This one was a real one because no one ever heard of him, but he wrote a book called The Short Dance in the Sun. He actually was an Irish drunk who I met in a bar, who then turned out to have written poetry. So I liked him because he was an Irish drunk first and a poet second. Anyone who puts their poetry ahead of their drunkenness, I don't trust, because you know they're a fraud. They can't do anything. They can't make a living doing anything, so they say they're a poet. This guy didn't advertise it. Anyway, I knew him for a brief period. I liked him a lot. I'm talking way, way back. And he wrote a book called The Short Dance in the Sun, which I've never forgotten, because that's what life is. So Reverend Wright knows that it's a short dance in the sun, and he's got a short shelf life, and his biological clock is ticking, man. It's ticking, ticking, ticking. It's ticking like a terrorist bomb in a subway. And he knows he doesn't have much time to get up there on the stage and dance and make a big name for himself one way or the other. I mean, he has now overridden High Jackson. He's overridden Sharp Tongue. And so how could he miss this opportunity? He's infamous now. It doesn't matter. There's a book deal in this. This guy could give lectures for the next 20 years to every synagogue in the East Coast at a probably 50 to 100 grand a pop now. Do you have any idea how Jewish people would fall over themselves to show they're not racist to go to listen to Reverend Wright? I can guarantee you he's invited to the Park Avenue Synagogue, right, as I speak, through his lecture agency. That would be my guess. The same synagogue that had the Pope a few weeks ago, being as liberal as it probably is, as I'm standing here, I guarantee you, in front of this, they'd probably pay 200 grand to get Reverend Wright first. There's not a synagogue in America, a liberal synagogue in America, that wouldn't want the good reverend to come there and tell them how bad they are and how Zionism is no good. Just think how guilty they could get and how they could work out their guilt that way. So, as I say, he's established quite a career for himself as a lecturer. It's probably a book, guaranteed a book. One of the morons on Publishers Row is probably tripping over themselves. Hey, what about that girl, that Disney girl, the 15-year-old, who posed with her father in a sexually promiscuous couple of poses? I didn't know who the guy was on the motorcycle. Then they said it's her father? I said, you talk about child abuse? I mean, this is not, this is worse than the polygamy cult. She's laying on a guy's crotch. Did anyone see those pictures of that 15-year-old girl? The guy should be arrested. This, to me, is child abuse. I never saw anything like this. But because he's not a churchgoer and doesn't have a church, they didn't break into his house and take the daughter away. They should at least take his motorcycle
Savage.
Away. It is the Savage Nation, so it's a crazy world. I mean, there are bigger problems out there than the Lord Buckley imitator here. That's his name, by the way. I got that from a colleague, a liberal colleague, who emails me occasionally, and I email her in Florida, and she said it's Lord Buckley. She's right. W-O-R. Natalie, you were going to say Lord Buckley, correct?
Yes, it was Lord Buckley. But I wanted to say two things. One about, I have two vinyls. There used to be a DJ.
Wait, ma'am, please. This is a family show.
Okay. I wanted to say about Barack Obama, this is what I wanted to say. You know,
you have two vinyls. I like that. That's pretty good. Yes. What were you going to say?
My litmus test for really sterling behavior is Martin Luther King. And I'd like to say, what would Martin Luther King have done? Would he have sat there?
First of all, Martin Luther King said that anyone who says they're anti-Zionist but not anti-Semitic is lying. He said anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. I have the quote firmly in one of my books, and I'm going to go look for it. But Martin Luther King Jr. knew where it was at with regard to that. So for a Reverend Obama, Reverend Wright, pardon me, to say that Louis, meaning Louis Farrakhan, was not anti-Semitic. Play clip three. That's the one I'm looking
for. One
of
our news channels keeps playing a news clip from 20 years ago when Lewis said 20 years ago that Zionism, not Judaism, was a gutter religion. And everybody wants to paint me as if
Let's
I'm
stop right there. Now, wait a minute. How can Zionism be a gutter religion since Zionism is not a religion? See, that's a lie. Louis Farrakhan didn't say Zionism is a gutter religion. He's lying, straight out lying. Isn't that what you're saying here, Natalie?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But I'm also saying that if you compare Barack Obama to Martin Luther King, you're going to see a paper-thin public relations, very, very smart guy, and a real human being. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, whoa. You mean, who's the real human being?
Martin Luther King. And Barack Obama...
Well, that's true with so many other people who are shadows of the master.
That's right. And then there's one other thing I want to say about...
Wait, I want to go back to the vinyl. You have two vinyls. Now, are you an old hipster?
No, but I used to know a disc jockey by the name of Mort Fieger.
And oh, my God. I don't believe it. I almost fell off the chair.
You know why?
I can't believe it, because when I was a kid, a little kid, I used to turn on my... I had a TV set with an FM radio in it. Remember those old Sylvanias or Zeniths? They have great speakers. And on Saturdays, I had nothing to do. I turned on jazz to get the bass. I think Mort Fieger wasn't he a jazz, disc jockey?
Yeah, he was on at night. He was still on till 5 o'clock in the morning. And at that time, yes, I used to call him up on the
phone. I listened to this guy on Saturday mornings. Most kids were, normal kids were in a hobby shop sniffing glue.
Maybe they recorded it.
But how did you wind up getting Lord Buckley records from him?
He used to send me records.
Oh, my God. Right. But tell me about the two vinyls that you have. Are they implanted or?
No. They're
come on. I milked it. I didn't mean to be rude. Thank you. It's a lady of a certain age. You can't do that. I couldn't resist. It was hilarious. And I'm already wacky from it. I got a skin condition from the Reverend and from between Obama and the Reverend Hillary and the debates. I'm already breaking out in hives. This is worse than the illegitimate bombing of Serbia for 78 days. I feel like I'm under siege in a bunker. Listening to this every day. I'm in a sweat. My dog is nervous. The dog is sick of throwing up from the tension. I know dogs pick it up from owners. He doesn't eat. He's moping around. His hair is matted. I'm trying to do the best I can for him. I don't know what it is. I think it's the politics of the day. Gas is through the ceiling. Maybe the dog's nervous when he sees me go to the gas station, and it looks like I just lost at Las Vegas. I fill the tank. Okay, thank you. It's $109. You know, I feel as though I'm in a bad movie from France from the 1950s where I'm paying... In old francs by the liter. That's what it looks like. The thing just spins around like a roulette, around and around. It's, where's this going to end? A government's supposed to rein in an industry that has a monopoly, isn't it? Never mind what the golfer says to you. This guy's a straight up mouthpiece for the oil industry and for the Bush administration and Republicans in general. Free market. How can you have a free market, Rush, when there's a monopoly? What are you talking about? If you don't like what the Seven Sisters do, what do? You go drill your own well? What are you, crazy? You people buy into that rubbish? It's no free market. It's a monopoly. A government's supposed to stop monopolies. The oil companies are a monopoly. OPEC is a monopoly. Make no mistake about it. And we do have options. We could go on to a crash program right now. Again, they're not asking them, one of the smartest men in the world, what the solution is. Oil for illegals. Make Mexico pump the oil, and we could take it from Mexico one barrel per illegal per day. That's 20 to 30 million barrels of oil to pay for the huge social costs of the illegal aliens. It's irrespective of whether you are for or against illegal immigration. I don't know how anybody can be for it unless they're benefiting from the cheap labor. Okay? No sovereign nation on earth has ever permitted this kind of influx, this kind of invasion. No country on earth has ever permitted it that is still standing. The only time this kind of invasion has occurred is after a war, when the country loses. They let 30 million people from another country come in and reproduce and become citizens. That's after they lost the war. But with politicians like we have, we don't have to lose a war. You want oil? Mexico's swimming in oil. You don't have to pump it in around the Straits of Hormuz. You don't need an aircraft carrier, battle fleet to protect it. You could truck it over the border, okay, instead of trucking in the other stuff. Instead of, I have to speak in code here, like the white and the black. Instead of trucking in the white, truck in the black. Okay, you know where that's coming from? Put that on your superhighway right to Texaco's gas station. Get the oil to the refineries. Get thee to a refinery, if you don't mind. Number two in the crash program, drill in Anwar. Anyone doesn't want you drilling in Anwar, arrest them. It's a national emergency. Period, end of story. The caribou will thank you. I remember when the Alaskan pipeline was being built in the early 70s, this same hysterical nonsense about it'll kill the caribou. Their migration patterns require that they migrate across these vast, pristine regions of Alaska. And if you build the pipeline above ground to pump that hot, disgusting oil out of the earth of Alaska, you will disrupt the migratory patterns of the caribou. Well, actually, if you have studied this recently, you'll find out that the caribou, meaning the moose, they love the pipeline because it's warm, and they never really wanted to live up there, man, because of global cooling, they had to grow a lot of fur and adapt to the cold. They probably originally were deer. Then global cooling hit, and those who could live had longer fur. And then they mated. The ones with the long fur mated with the other guys with long fur. The girls, remember that baby with long fur, the woman with the short fur died, survival of the fittest. Now we are millennia later, and we have moose. And the moose don't really like the cold. They actually would rather live in Florida. But they had no choice about it. The world changed underneath their tusks. Underneath their antlers. So what you have now is caribou who really would rather be around warm. So they actually congregate around the Alaskan oil pipeline that we were told would kill them and disrupt their migratory patterns. In fact, they like to reproduce under the heat, man. Ask yourself a question. Where would you rather do it, in the snow or under a hot pipeline? So the same with the caribou. They're not stupid. Guy wants to get down with his old lady moose. He's going to do it around something in a warm place. So where's he going to go to do that? The pipeline. So we've actually created a larger population of caribou as a result of this oil pipeline running through Alaska. I'm telling you, I have a great memory for the big things. You understand what I just said to you? Do you have that or not? Do you get that picture? So what I'm saying to you is that's why drilling in Anwar now makes sense. Because with slant drilling, it would affect very little of the so-called pristine environment. And by the way, most of the people who are in favor of the environment never go to the environment. I actually do. And I'm actually a real conservationist, and I've really done things for the conservation movement over the last 30 or 40 years. They've done nothing but collect big checks and go to dinners. But I don't want to, put another halo around my halo here. What I want to tell you is that I'm giving you a program, oil for Mexico. You want to lower gas prices? You want to go on to a crash program like immediately, like the Marshall Plan, because this is war. This is a war against our economy by OPEC and the oil giants. And because Bush is an oil president, we're seeing the most egregious profiteering in the history of the world going on, not only from the oil cartel, but also on Wall Street, because there's no controls whatsoever. He put a shadow of a policeman in the SEC called Chris Cox, another great Republican from Orange County, Christopher Cox, Harvard, the white knight. He waited all his life to get that appointment, left Congress and went to the SEC. And under his watch, there's the greatest crime of the last 150 years has occurred, the greatest crimes, the bust out of Bear Stearns, et cetera, et cetera. Huge fortunes were made and lost. People lost their houses, subprime meltdown. And Chris Cox is sitting there doing nothing. Republican from Orange County. Great, great, great appointment, Mr. Bush. In a sane world, the guy would be not only thrown out of his job, he'd be investigated. By the way, in my opinion, it's only one man's opinion. I never met Mr. Cox, but I know he's above the law. Absolutely. I mean, he's clean as a whistle, a Boy Scout. So that's number two. Number one, we drill in our number one oil from Mexico, oil for illegals. We get it for free to pay for the hospitalization, medication, and schooling. They don't want to give it to us. We send in the 82nd Airborne and we take it, like in the good old days. We become a country again instead of a patsy that they suck everything out of us and we get nothing back. Take it from them instead. That's number one, oil from Mexico for the social cost of the illegal alien invasion. Two, number two, drill in Anwar. It'll take 6 to 7 years, I think, to see a drop of oil. I don't know how long it'll take. They have to drill much deeper because they have to go on the angle. Drill in Anwar. Number three, immediately start pumping oil out of Iraq. That's yesterday. The oil is there, Jackson. You start pumping it. You put it on ships. You protect it with the American fleet that's doing zilch, nothing but training right now. And I'm sick of training, burning up gas with training. Okay? Get the oil out of Iraq. Get it over here. Get it into the refineries. Immediately get it in line. That's number three. And I can guarantee you in a very short period of time, oil will come down from the $4, $5 a gallon back to $2, $2.50. Now, why do you not hear this on ABC, CBS, NBC? Fair and balanced, it's Fox News. Why don't you hear it on any of those stations? Because they're all tied into the same beltway garb. They're shrouded with the same garb as all of them are. They pretend they're different than each other. Now, you ask yourself a question. I'm going to have you ask yourself a question. I'm going to give you a savage question. NBC News has a ratings for the week of 8 million listeners. ABC News has a ratings for the week of 7.7 million. And Katie Coran Couric, who we told you would fail, even though the morons paid her $15 million, I knew she was a flop before she began, had a listenership, a listenership of 5 million for the week. For the week? How is it that I, an unknown man who's never invited on a radio show, television show, never written about in a newspaper, has a listenership of at least 8 to 10 million a week, according to Talkers Magazine? That's at least, I know it's higher than that, at least that number. Why are people listening to my show? Precisely because of what you just heard, because I have ideas, valid ideas, that you will never hear on ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox News. I didn't say they're bad at what they do. They're bad at disseminating their view of world events, but they're not good at giving you any solutions or ideas. I am different in that regard. And these ideas are so threatening to the establishment of which they are a part that they will not project these ideas. Now, how do you think a guy like the Leprechaun, who has gotten away with going from being an Entertainment Tonight guy to so-called wrapping himself in the flag and being a patriot, a wonderful patriot, how is it that Hillary Clinton will go on his show? Ask yourself why. Because he cultivated her. And the guy's all over the map politically. That he's entitled to be a chameleon. There is nothing wrong with being a leprechaun, and I've said that before. In a world of 5 billion people, a certain number of people are going to be charlatans and leprechauns. That doesn't mean they're bad people. It's just the way they are. So there's no reason that you should be upset that Hillary Clinton's going to go on the charlatan chameleon leprechaun show. I'll be back.
Savage.
As I was saying, there are ways to lower the cost of gas, which is a real big issue, and one of them is to drill in Anwar. Another is to get oil from Mexico for the cost of the illegal aliens. Another is to pump the oil out of Iraq. But the environmentalists are going to come up with lies about the caribou and damaging the environment. As I said to you, in the 70s, we had the same garbage. that it would disrupt the mating patterns of the caribou, the moose. As it turns out, they were lying in the wrong, because caribou like the heat of the oil pipeline, and they congregate under it. Then I made like a joke. I said, if you were a caribou, where would you like to mate with your partner? In the cold, wet snow or under a nice hot oil pipeline? And then we found, going back to something earlier, we found that guy I was looking for, who I said that Reverend Wright sounds like. Turns out he's a white guy. His name is Lord Buckley. Listen to this.
I look at all you cats and kitties out there whipping and wailing and jumping up and down and sucking up all that juice and patting each other on the back and hipping each other who the greatest cat in the world is. Mr. Malenkoff, Mr. Talenkoff, Mr. Eisenhower, Mr. Woozer, Weezer, Mr. Wasser, Woozer, Mr. Woodhill, Mr. Beechhill, and Mr. Churchill, and all them hills going to get you straight. If they can't get you straight, then no cat that knows a cat will straighten you. But I'm going to put a cat on you. Was the coolest, grooviest, sweetest, wailingest, strongest, spayingest cat that ever stomped on this jumping green sphere, and to call this your cat, Denaz.
Oh, this guy was so good. Now, you got to understand, picture you're 18 years old and in college. Would you rather listen to him after smoking a joint or sit in class and read about George Washington? I mean, the fact of the matter is this guy was so incredibly great. It was unbelievable, this stuff. It was unbelievable. I didn't know who he was. But listening to it now, so many decades later, I got to tell you, this guy had talent. He was a nightclub comedian, fundamentally, like marginal. Marginal guy. But he derived all of his shtick, his rhythm, from the black church is where he got it from. He got the cadence and a delivery from like the Lord, you know, like the Reverend Billy's types. Now, play a speech by Reverend Wright that approximates it in cadence. You have one?
Only black children 50 years ago were singled out as speaking bad English.
Okay. You see what I mean? It's not what he's saying anymore. Now we're turning it into a whole thing in like phonics. It's like hooked on phonics now, teaching you like it's all about language and the use of words and rhythm. We don't even care what he's saying anymore. There's a style. There's a preacher style that works. It whips up audiences into a frenzy. And that's why Lord Buckley could do the Naz and just, you know, crack people up. Now, I could talk about oil. Sometimes I get into nice small riffs, but I know an ad's coming any second. My pancreas tells me it squirts insulin out and tells me to keep going. I've got a great sense of humor, but it has to be modified by sound, by certain segments. I'm only allowed to go so long. That's why I should do a live performance. I'm getting ready to do another live performance. I can only take so long without people. This is too fantastic to sit in front of a microphone every day by yourself. You got to do live, you know. Anyway, let's get back to the news. What do you want to talk about? The news is so boring. Gas is almost $5 a gallon. It's unbelievable. That's because you have an oil president. You got to give credit to the people who said that in the beginning. And they were almost right. They had it half right when they said no oil, no war for oil. They were almost right. Because now I would say we should have oil now. No, we have a war already. We paid for it. Now we got to get oil back. Remember, it was no oil for war. Yeah, no war for oil. Right, that's what it was. Those bumper stickers have died. They're like a collector's item. No war for oil. So I say, yes, oil for war. We need oil to pay for the war, $500 billion. Where are we going to get it? Iraq. What are the guys in dirty nightshirts going to do? They're doing the best they can now to kill our men. So they're going to do worse? Are they going to say we're bad guys? Don't believe for a minute that's the reason we don't take the oil. They want to maintain the level of supply and demand where it is. Just go back to your high school textbooks. I read The Law of Supply and Demand when I was a sophomore in high school, in Jamaica High School. What, have you forgotten supply and demand? So we don't have a supply-side president now. We have a demand-side president. Write that down. Make a note of it. See, Reagan gave us supply-side economics. We now have a demand-side president. He makes sure the demand goes up and at the same time supply goes down. What can be better for an oil cartel? Nothing. Now play the Meyer Lansky character. I want to hear that. It'll fit right in at this time. It works somehow. I don't know how. In the
this country has had rebels for the last 50 years. It's in their blood. Believe me, I know. I've been coming here since the 20s. We were running molasses out of Havana when you were a baby. The trucks, owned by your father.
Oh, man, it's good.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Perfect as he may be, he has been like family to me. He strengthens my faith, officiated my wedding, and baptized my children.
The government lied about inventing the HIV virus as a means of genocide against people of color. That is lie.
Well, that's the news of the day. I mean, even the lefties are covering it. And saying that nasty Reverend Wright, why doesn't he just go away? Well, what are they saying to him for? I mean, why don't they say to him instead of to us? We didn't ask him to come back from the shadows. So the only question is someone behind him pushing him out there in order to make Obama look bad? Or which way do you go? Do you think it's Obama who wants Wright to look like the bad guy so he can look like the good guy, like the moderate? It could be that. You never know. There's a lot at stake here. When you consider that they can get away with robbing the Treasury, the amount of money they can, and no one will stop them because they're the ones who are supposed to stop them, you don't have any idea what kind of money's at stake and what they'll do for it? Huh. Are you kidding me? So anything, who knows who's behind it? It's the shadows on the wall. We little people just see the shadows on the wall. We're not actually seeing the players. We are seeing the shadows on the wall of the cave. You have to have read your Plato to understand, Aristotle to have understood that. Was it Plato or Aristotle? I've forgotten. I read both. It was so long ago. Plato. Was Plato Shadows on the Wall? I actually read both in mathematical formulae, by the way, in addition to in the English translation. You don't know about that. That's why my mind is so logical. When I studied logic in college, you don't want to hear about me. It's too egotistical, but I'll tell it to you anyway. Since you're so bored of the other stuff, I'll tell you the story. It's a very important story for young people. Anyone over 20 shouldn't listen to this. I was about, 18, 19, 20, and I was not sure that I was stable mentally. You know, kids get whacked out at a young age. They're the sufferings of young worth. You don't know who you are. You start to question your own sanity. You really know what's going on. That's because everyone's telling you you're wrong and you're doing everything wrong and you're nuts and this and that. That's just because you're young, by and large. And if you're a little different on top of it all and you don't want to become like a furrier, let's say, or a brassier cutter or someone in the corrugated cardboard carton business. You know what I'm saying? Like a regular person. God forbid you should be a little different and want to go your own way. Then they start really tell you you're nuts, crazy, why you're not like everyone else in your family. So to make a long story short, I'd gone to Europe. I don't know if it was a year or summer. I came back and I was really like very out there. So I figured I'm going to study logic and scientific method and one other course. I took it at graduate school for the summer at City College. It was still a great place. And the professor taught it in mathematics. In other words, when you read Plato, you weren't reading it in English, nor you were reading it in Greek. You were reading it in mathematical formulae, and he was trying to show us how logical the words were. They were not just the words themselves. They actually were structured so that they made sense mathematically. It's hard to describe. And I got an A in it. I actually got an A-plus in it, which to me proved that my mind was still good. Now, I'm saying that for a reason, is that if you come from a background with some science, and I have an awful lot of science in my background. I'm not Albert Schweitzer or, you know, I didn't save the world with polio, but I have a lot of training in scientific literature and a real PhD from a great university. Don't you think that matters when you're analyzing current events? Don't you think that matters when you're studying political machinations and most people in the business wore disc jockeys who put on an Aloha shirt and then an American flag over the Aloha shirt. I mean, don't you think it matters? It does. So I can understand things from a logical point of view. So when I look at the Reverend, I have to ask myself a question because I don't have the answer. Why now? Where did he come from all of a sudden? Is it really being driven by Hillary's hit team, you know, opposition research team? Or is it Obama himself and his team is so smart, they figured, you know what, it is bigger than we say and we think. Let's get him back out here so that Obama can really distance himself from the guy now. I don't know the answer. But I do know this. It may be too little too late. Now, it's like a game of catch-up. It's like when you're trying to sell your house in a down market and you keep lowering the price and people keep waiting for you to hit bottom. It's the same thing here. He's got to go real low, real fast here, and he's got to disassociate himself from that racist church that he's with. He's got to say, Trinity United Church, you know what I thought about it? I don't agree with anything they stand for. They're not all bad, but their philosophy is too anti-American for me. They're too anti-Israel for me. They're too anti-American for me. I'm disavowing myself. I'm joining the Episcopal Church or whatever. I don't care what church he joins. He could even convert to another religion or another whatever. But he's got to get away from that church. It's not Reverend Wright. It's not Reverend Wright. It's the church. Don't you get it? When Reverend Wright yesterday said it's the black church, he meant it's his church. But they're not the black church. The Trinity United Church is not the black church. They're a small sect. They're like the polygamy sect is to the Mormons. Does that make sense for you? This is the Savage Nation. Be here. Savage. You know, for a long while now, I've been telling you that the radical Islamists are waging a war against us, and they're using our own money in our own banks. So-called Sharia financing has been documented time after time after time. The problem is, how are the average people going to know if their investments are being funneled into these Islamist groups that wish to harm us? Our guest, Roger W. Robinson, Jr., has 25 years of experience in identifying, analyzing international security risks. He was formerly Senior Director of International Economic Affairs at the National Security Council. He's now President and CEO of Conflict Securities Advisory Group. He joins us now to tell us what we can do to be sure we're not investing in terror. Not investing in terror. Mr. Robinson, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for having me on today.
So, what is it that your group does?
Well, Conflict Securities Advisory Group was founded in October 2001, not long after 9/11, but we had actually begun compiling a database prior to the attack on the United States of all publicly traded companies around the world that were doing business with State Department-designated terrorist-sponsoring states. Today, we're concentrating on Iran, Syria, Sudan, and North Korea. And we look at companies, public companies, that have any kind of ties to those countries. And we now have identified some 600 such companies around the world that have some form of tie. Some of that could be humanitarian, but most of it is not. And we are making that kind of data available from a risk management perspective, because there is a financial risk to companies willing to do business with these terrorist sponsoring states that even the Securities and Exchange Commission has highlighted in its activities. But there's also a matter of the values involved and the moral and ethical dimensions. People are very troubled with the notion of investing in companies that are doing business or comfortable doing business with terrorist sponsoring regimes. This is in our view, because we're an impartial information provider, but we need to just tell you honestly that this is the view of a number of our clients.
Well, I think it's important, don't you?
Recently, a poll by the prestigious firm Luntz Maslansky in 2007 that indicated that 86% of the American investors polled said that they did not want to hold companies in their portfolio that were doing business with terrorist-sponsoring nations. 80% of those polled said that they didn't want to hold those companies in their investment portfolios, even if it meant lower investment returns. The good news is that ever since we've had terror-free investment products in the marketplace, it has been demonstrated that folks are getting the same or better returns with no extra costs of investing in a tariff-free fund. What's exciting right now, Michael, is these investment products are coming to the market right now. Some of them are already in the market and are available for Americans to invest in as we speak, but more are coming, including some exchange-traded funds that will actually be traded on the New York Stock Exchange Big Board from the firm Northern Trust, which is a respected name in this country in the financial services industry, so that everyone can point and click, so to speak, just like buying Microsoft or some other stock. They can buy a tariff-free, in effect, mutual fund, a tariff-free indexed managed fund that are benchmarked against our data that we have partnered with the Financial Times Stock Exchange in providing to financial service companies so that they can benchmark their products against them. We are an independent, impartial research provider ourselves. We don't take an advocacy position on how to use our data or make any kind of recommendations for divestment and that kind of thing. That's left entirely to the investor. But we do try to make sure that we can finally, after 7 years of steady effort, offer the American people a choice. They now have the ability to exclude from their investment portfolios companies that are doing business in terrorist-sponsoring nations and providing those nations with the kind of life support, the kind of other equipment, technology, and services that are actually strengthening regimes that are dedicated to harming ourselves and Western civilization more broadly. That's the principal concern. So although we don't take an advocacy position, we are proud of the fact that we're the first company in the United States and indeed the world to have built the kind of research capability to create tariff-free investment products of the type that are coming to market as we speak.
Well, how would somebody go about monitoring where their investments are going?
There's an educational website that we have constructed called www.tariffreeinvesting.com. That's one avenue. That provides a lot of information concerning those financial service companies that have engaged or are engaging in the creation of tariff-free products. Individuals, for example, can go to Credit Suisse, United Missouri Bank, as well as Tributary Capital and others. And some of those companies offer separately managed accounts. Others are mutual fund companies. Credit Suisse is making a big push on making tariff-free products, or what they call their Patriot Fund, available to average Americans. In the case of institutions, public pension systems, foundations, university endowments, 401k plans, and the like, they're able to go to Northern Trust, for example, one of the country's leading financial service providers that has taken on a passive, commingled, tariff-free fund for institutional investors, both those in the public space and in the more private sector area. And they are using what has come to be known as the FTSE CSAG Tariff-Free Index Series. FTSE is the Financial Times Stock Exchange. They're one of the leading index providers in the world, along with, for example, Dow Jones. And so we had the good fortune to partner with FTSE on this, on tariff-free, and to help Northern Trust and some of these other firms build these products and to indeed certify on an ongoing basis that they remain tariff-free.
Well, I think it's important to check these things out, but can it be done?
Well, there's another even better way, Michael, which is that we have just this week, and really we are inaugurating this new product on your program today, which is a tariff-free calculator, which can be found at www.tarifffreecalculator.com. And this is a very interesting free-of-charge service that I think your listeners are going to be particularly enamored by, where they can go and enter the name of their mutual fund, anyone that you could imagine, and get a readout free of charge as to whether that mutual fund is in fact free of companies doing business in terrorist sponsoring states or not.
Wow.
What's exciting right now, Michael, is it will also be clear if indeed they are terror-free, are they certified to be terror-free? And here we get into, again, that issue of the fact that companies are coming and going from these countries. A terror-free mutual fund today, just by coincidence, may actually take on and purchase the stock of a company that has these ties tomorrow. When you're a certified terror-free mutual fund, it means you're checking on an ongoing basis to ensure that you remain terror-free. So I think that this is going to be a revolutionary new idea whereby, again, average Americans free of charge can go to www.terrorfreecalculator.com, get an answer as to whether their mutual fund is terror-free. If it is not, there is a way to also automatically contact that mutual fund and explain if indeed it's the wishes of that person that their fund be terror-free to say so. And this is going to be a matter, frankly, of that now the terror-free products have been constructed, and it's been a very tough road, I can tell you, because this initiative amazingly was resisted by a number of players in the financial community who are worried about it for reasons that you might understand. Now that these products exist, that you can invest terror-free by choice, it becomes incumbent on individuals and institutions to do so. Because if they don't, those terror-free funds, when they don't realize funds rolling into them, will see this as uneconomic and just for business reasons will be forced to, in effect, abandon this terror-free investing initiative. Remember, this is the first time in history that we've ever had security-minded shareholder activism, security-minded corporate governance and investment policies. It's the first time that individuals would be empowered to join the war on terror by voting with their money, that they're not going to have that money necessarily invested in companies doing business or comfortable doing business with terrorist sponsoring regimes.
Free information for the Savage Nation listeners. Incredible. Mr. Robinson, thank you for joining us on the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you, Michael, for this extraordinary opportunity. And again, I urge your listeners to try out the new terror-free calculator at www.terrorfreecalculator.com because I think that they'll be surprised with the results.
Savage. Good quote me. Savage says race is front and center in this race. I was the first to say it in the media. It was just copied by Puffball. I'm sure they turned the radio off before going on the air. That's okay. And we thought race was behind us, but let me tell you, it is not. It has become the issue of this campaign. It is the issue. I think race has superseded the economy as an issue. And that is because of this egomaniac, America-hating Reverend Jeremiah Spite. Now, I'm giving you in my armchair analysis of why this guy is doing it. Number one, he recognizes that it's a short dance in the sun that we all have. We all have a short dance in the sun called life. He knows this is his moment. He knew this is his best shot to become famous rather than simply infamous. So he got guys like the baggy-eyed Bolshevik on PBS to give him a softball interview. One liberal after another is trying to, you know, reinvent this guy and make him into what he isn't. And he knows that there's a book deal and endless lectures as a result of this. So he's doing it, number one, for himself and his own self-gain. No question about it. He went from being an obscure crackpot, America-hating, white-hating preacher up in Chicago somewhere to a national, let's say a national figure. Let's just put it to you that way. Now, so as I say, his sudden infamy has launched him into the stratosphere. Politically, he may even run for Congress. In fact, when Obama loses, he may run against Obama for the Senate, for all we know. We'll have to wait and see. Now, from my point of view, first of all, I'm white. I'm not of African American. I'm not black. I want you to know that. I know a lot of people think I'm black. My voice. I've had guys say to me, "You're a white guy." I don't know where that came from, but it's fine. Just so you know, other people think I smoke. I don't smoke. Other people think I like corned beef. I don't. Other people think I like pastrami. I do not. For me, as a white guy, you have to take it for what it is. Do I say I love all black people? That would be ridiculous. But I have been a supporter of Clarence Thomas for a very long time because I like his politics and I think that he was unfairly treated and I think he handles himself very well. I like Colin Powell. He was a little liberal in some areas, but I really respected Colin Powell. The guy had real accomplishments, genuine accomplishments as a human being. He went very far and, as a great military man or a fine military man, I respected the guy. He also had a great demeanor. So to me, it isn't about race. You give me a candidate who is for borders, language, and culture, and I don't care what his race is. I would support him or her or his sexuality. I would almost go as far as to say sexual orientation, but I don't think I'm there yet. You get me a borders, language, culture candidate, and I will work for that candidate. I don't have one. You say McCain. I don't know how in the world. I know how. When you have a communist left-wing socialist press that calls John McCain a conservative right-winger or George Bush a conservative right-winger, it's because compared to them, sure, they're conservative right-wingers. But they're not. Where's the borders in either of them? Tell me where the borders is in Bush. Doesn't exist. Tell me where the borders are with McCain. Never discusses them. Tell me where the issue of language exists with George Bush. Doesn't exist. Likewise, down the line. They're not conservatives by definition, not by my definition. They're middle-of-the-road Democrats of 20 years ago. In fact, by comparison, John F. Kennedy was far more conservative than either Bush or McCain, incidentally, just to show you how the times they have been a-changing. And I know which way the wind blows, trust me, because I am the weatherman of the radio, to use an old adage. Only I didn't set any bombs on the cars in order to know which way the wind blows. Nor did I have a salon with other left-wingers about how to put bombs on the cars. So let's get back to it. Race is front and center in this race. Why would Reverend Wright this weekend throw more verbal hand grenades? He's actually pouring gasoline on the fire. And I believe he is. You're watching Obama as the amazing shrinking man. He went from almost a luminary stature a few weeks ago, almost untouchable a few months ago, almost untouchable. He was the Messiah. Of course, we knew he was a tofu Messiah. I've been saying that for a long time, but to those who were throwing themselves at him and fainting before him, the man was the Messiah, the new Holy Grail. He was the new hope for America. And as time has gone on, because of Hillary's excellent strategy and campaign, which is opposition research, which is what she specializes in. After all, you're dealing with one of the most powerful women on earth who comes from a lot of years of hard, hard, hard campaigning. And she knows what works. Love doesn't work in politics. Hate works. And undermining the other candidate works much better than loving the other candidate. That's something John McCain hasn't learned yet, the shoe salesman. He'll be fitting Basswegians if he keeps this up. Would you like a pair of slippers to go with those Basswegians? We have a special this month in the new John McCain shoe store in Tempe, Arizona, a year from now. You buy two pair, you get one kidney free. I mean, what is this guy thinking? Who is going to vote for this schlepper? He's like a schlepper. People starting to say that Hillary looks tougher than him. Hillary comes out and says, I would nuke Iran, basically. And this Schmendrick has nothing to say about anything. So trust me, you get a tough cookie like Hillary. She knows what she's doing, and she undermined Obama. And she's so smart that she didn't actually do it. She dug up Reverend Jeremiah Spite's statements and then guilt by association. You say, well, is guilt by association fair? It is not always fair. In fact, most of the times it's unfair. However, it's very fair in this case because this is not a casual friend. Reverend Spite is not a casual acquaintance of Obama. By Obama's own admission, he sat in the man's church for 20 straight years. I mean, not every minute, but he loved him so much, the man who said this is the United States of KKK, that he had him baptize his two daughters. Obama loved him so much that he had this man who called it the United States of KKK marry him. So it's not like guilt by association at a distance. This is guilt by associational reality. This is guilt by associational reality. If I went to a house of worship and I had a rabbi, a minister, whatever, who was putting out hate speech, I wouldn't go back. Because, A, I don't want to hear it. But, B, how would I as a politician sit through that unless I agreed with him and said amen? I'd be in the amen corner. That's what the amen corner meant. Amen, amen, amen. The United States of KKK, amen, and on and on and on. So, all right, so now we know, and it's damning him. It's destroying him. Now to give you the two-cent psychology view. I gave it to you in the last hour. I'll give it to you again. Reverend Wright is like a father to Obama, a son. This is, you want to get biblical? It's an Abraham and Isaac. He's trying to slay Isaac right here. The father, Abraham, does not like the fact that Isaac is trying to up him, and in fact upped him, and was shining brighter than he was. No one knew who this preacher was. Now, all of a sudden, he wants to show this guy that he's boss. There's one part of that. There's an egomaniacal old dude man trying to slay the young guy and put him in his place. There's another element here, and it's not just the father and son, preacher and flock, preacher and attendee kind of deal. There are other elements here that I can't even understand, but I'm sure they're operational. So we have in our face here the fact that race is front and center in this race, and we have a fact, clearly a fact, that if I could tell you, I think Obama's finished. I think the turning point was the uncovering of the Reverend's spite hate speeches, and no matter how they tried, they could not put Humpty together again. That's where the old adage comes from. You know, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Obama is Humpty Dumpty. And Obama fell off the wall. And he's cracked, man. That egg is broken. If you're a little child, you remember that nursery rhyme? All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Well, Obama's Humpty. He fell off the wall, but he was really pushed off the wall by Hillary. And he cannot be reconstructed again, because every time he speaks now, everyone sees the cracks in the egg. Okay, there's only so much makeup they can put over the cracks. The fissures are evident to everyone who watches him now. They listen to him speak. No matter how many times he tries to get above it, he can't get above it. All they see behind him and all they hear behind him is Reverend Wright saying those hateful things about this country that most people still love, by the way. See, most of us love this country. We revere the country. We've got nowhere to go. There is no fallback. This is our fallback. That is why we are distasteful. That is why we have disconnect with Washington, because they don't love this country. They love the transnational universe that is not America. It's another universe altogether. That is why they will sell mortgages out and send people into the gutter. That is why they will send our military procurement to France rather than to Seattle. That is why so many horrible things have been happening to our country, is because the big business world, the big business world, has no nation. They have no nationality. The big business world fundamentally is a group of men and women without a country. They are truly men without a country. But we have nowhere to go. We have no other nation waiting for us. We do not have a house on Lake Geneva. We do not have a condominium in Shanghai in one of the new glass towers. We do not have a villa in wherever, where we can go in a moment's notice and discard our American passport and put down America and call it a land of bumpkins. This is it. Most of us were born here and we're going to die here, and our ancestors are buried here. And we love this country. And that's the reason that a nobody like Obama could even have gotten as far as he did before he fell off the wall. That is why a used up hag like Hillary can even be taken seriously after all the damage she did to this country as a commander in grief. He was commander in chief. She was commander in grief. And that is why a deflated balloon, a used up football with no skin left on the pig like McCain can even be running, because the country's tired right now. The country has lost its ability to even produce a viable candidate for the presidency. The parties are so corrupt and so all powerful that they can't even produce a viable candidate that America can get excited about, as evidenced by the three amigos here who are running for the presidency. But to come back to what I started with, to come back to it, what I'm saying fundamentally is that America is still loved by the majority of people living in it. And for Obama to not wear a flag pin and then suddenly start wearing one last week when people were starting to question his identity, and because he specializes in identity politics. Never forget what his church is. You know, you take, I'm going to tell you something else. You can take that preacher out of the church, but you can't take that church out of the preacher. If you think that Reverend Spite is alone in these feelings and these sayings, you're wrong. I have watched this church's actions for the last 20 or 30 years. They have been so out of touch with mainstream Christian churches that it's hard to describe it any other way other than to say they're a fringe church. This church, the Trinity United Church, is a fringe church, way out of touch with mainstream America. It is a far-left radical Afro-Leninist church, and we have found that their candidate does not have traction in the main of America. So to summarize this segment, one, race is front and center in this race, and Obama is Humpty Dumpty, and all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot put Humpty together again. I'll be right back. This is Michael Savage. Savage.
I do think, let me just say something, from being on the ground in Pennsylvania and in Ohio, I think racism is a real factor here. I don't think
Shut
it's
up.
Being polled.
Get her off this show. Get that rotten piece of fruit off my show. Can you imagine NBC's Andrea Mitchell, that sourpuss, saying that the fact that Obama lost in Pennsylvania shows racism? Here's a spoiled white chick, liberal as they make them on NBC, saying that it was racism that destroyed Obama's vote in. What does she want people to vote for because he's half black? Is that what she's saying? In other words, to prove you're not a racist, you must vote for him. What a schmuck. But then she was married to an idiot. Greenspan couldn't manage a souvlaki stand in Manhattan. I can guarantee you, Alan Greenspan, if you gave him a souvlaki cart after the revolution and said, all right, you're not going to go to a re-education camp, but you and your wife, Andrea Mitchell, who've had it real good for 40, 50 years, you're each going to get a souvlaki cart. You got to get up 4 in the morning, push the cart out, and sell souvlaki. They'd go bankrupt in 3 months and be on welfare. But he managed the economy so well. And this one was on NBC giving opinion. Could you believe what she just said? Play it again.
I do think, let me just say something, from being on the ground in Pennsylvania and in Ohio, I think racism is a real factor here.
Get out of here. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Get out of here. Get out of here. Being on the ground. Suddenly she's in Fallujah. Well, she ducking white sniper fire in Pennsylvania. She was on the ground. You think of the rhetoric of these people? Why do they earn a living? They should have a souvlaki cart. I'd rather have a guy from Greece who came over here 30 years ago who started with one souvlaki cart, who's worth tens of millions running that television show she's on. He could actually be better than Alan Greenspan managing the economy. I guarantee he wouldn't have sold out our infrastructure to China. So there it is. That's the world as I see it. What a day. What a day. It's a day that you'll live in Humpty Dumpty land. I mean, look, now Obama's got the sympathy factor. Like a nice kid who was beaten up, but they muddied him. This is frightening. Now he's starting to be sympathetic, betrayed by his past, and betrayed by his own party. The only people who haven't abandoned him is the media, the left-wing radical media like Andrea Mitchell. They haven't abandoned him. They won't let go till they realize they're the last man standing. Then they'll put a knife in him on their way out the door. Betrayed, Obama denounces rights, appalling statements. A little too late. Tomorrow he's got to get up and say, I denounce Trinity United Church. It's too out of touch with mainstream America. When I started, it wasn't. Goodbye to all that. I'm now joining the United Methodist Church or any other church. I am telling you, you check out Trinity United Church that he belongs to. Jeremiah Wright is not off from their from what they believe in. And they're entitled to believe in it, by the way. It's America. But we don't want a candidate who believes in it. That's the problem here. Maybe America will finally wake up like with a shock as to what really is going on in this country, that we could produce a guy who could get this far like a stealth candidate from the American left and get away with it because of women like Andrea Mitchell. Women like Andrea Mitchell covered for him, as do so many of the others. You get that? So that's one thing, number one. Number two, the hate speech is number two. Number three, the stories are on michaelsavage.com, and the Alexa ratings came out. My website is now, according to the chart, I just got bigger than Hannity's, which is indicative that I probably have a bigger show than his, even though the ratings don't show it. But I know in San Francisco I'm rated much higher than him, and he has a pretty good lead, and I don't. But that's irrelevant. I'm saying this show is very important. It's bigger than NBC News. Do you know that my weekly listenership is bigger than NBC News, according to the ratings by the week? It's unbelievable to me. It may be too – I may – actually, now that I see this, I may get frightened of the responsibility and may have to start acting like a normal news person, put on a white shirt and tie, you know, learn how to put on a Windsor knot again like I'm 13. I don't know what might happen. What happens if I actually take myself so seriously that I realize how powerful I am and that people really listen to this show? I don't know. Right now, it's not real to me. It's fantasy. I come in, I got a headache, dyspepsia. I'm worried about gaining too much weight from the pneumonia, no exercise. I'm packing on like it's unbelievable. It's like an excuse to like get lazy. So I gained about 10 pounds. I'm enjoying every ounce of it. I got to tell you the truth. I'm starting to be very comfortable being fat. I enjoy it. It feels good. Who says extra weight's no good? Look at the guys in Iraq. They all have a big bean on them. Where the heck are they starving down there? What do they eat? Their lamb? Every minute they're killing a lamb behind the house? In addition to blowing up our troops' vehicles, they're killing a lamb? Bah. They eat mutton. Where do they get all those sheep? They're all fat, those guys. They're hefty. They're like bears. I mean, the whole thing is like a nation. There's no skinny guys there. All the skinny guys go to Kuwait and carry bricks. The fat middle-aged guys there, they stay behind. But tomorrow I got other stuff. Oh, do I have stuff for you? Did you hear the soundbite of the corruption and contracting in Iraq that went on in the in Congress today? What KBR was charging our government? Remember I've been talking about this? Here's a guy. Listen to 23. Quickly play this. This came out today.
I was forced to work in the laundry where I saw the inflation of laundry figures. While at the laundry, the KBR supervisor told me that over half the equipment was broken. I put in several written requests for repair parts and asked the camp manager to move two heavy-duty washers and dryers that were stored in a warehouse to the laundry so that we could use them. No parts ever arrived. The equipment stayed in the warehouse, and the Marines suffered. The laundry
okay, hold
was...
it. He also found out that KBR, a contractor, charged the military $75 to do a 15-pound bag of laundry. Okay? They're charging $16 for a tray of food, plastic food. You're telling me this is not a corrupt war? Military-industrial complex? Wake up.
Savage.